what you just saw were slideshows, obviously, from our two big trips that the youth takes this summer. We go to Creation Festival every year where we listen to bands and see speakers and a whole bunch of different stuff and do some weird things and make our hair get really high. Okay, so, and then we went to DC this summer on a missions trip where we got a chance to serve in a bunch of urban ministries in Washington, DC that ranged from helping out at nursing homes to helping out with a VBS with kids at a place called City Gate to preparing food for hundreds of families while we were down there, as well as cleaning up some areas. We're down there, and they were awesome trips, and we always take a chance on Youth Sunday, as many of you already know that it is, because you got bombarded by a whole bunch of guys with programs as you walked into the service. We like to share what we did this summer with you guys, and so what we have before us is a panel of students that have been on one of those two trips. We have a couple that have been on Creation, and then two of our students from our DC missions trip. We got some questions for them that they're going to help us kick off the Life Connection this morning. So starting on this side with our Creation crew, the first question we had for you guys was just share with the group what your favorite part of Creation was and say your name so they know who you are.
I'm Emma, and my favorite part of Creation was when we were all hanging out, like either on the tarp or we all just walking around, going to different tents or going to concerts or anything else. I really liked hanging out with everyone and being with everyone because we were all one family.
Hey, my name is Brenda, and my favorite part was the concerts, us just like singing, worshiping, and I also liked the speakers who were there. They inspired me because everyone goes through something, and I always thought like I'm going through the worst thing. So listening to them was like, some people go through harder stuff, and it's just like really fun to hang out with like everyone. We're like a mini family here.
Okay, I'm Haley. My favorite part about Creation was connecting more with the kids and the youth, and then also connecting more with just Christ in general. You go to youth and like you know all these people, but then you never really relate to them. And then I think through Creation, I made friends who I will have forever. And connecting with Christ, I mean, like Brenda said, the speakers and everything really hit close. And so it's always just awesome connecting more with him from, you know, going through a rough school year and then, you know, thinking that, you know, God's gone, and then coming back in and being like, okay, he's still there, and then becoming closer with him than I ever was.
Hello, my name is Alex. My favorite part of Creation, I have to say, was definitely a toss-up between the bands and hanging out with the people that I've gotten to know over the few years. And really, it's a lot of fun to just hang out with people that you've gotten close to. And I really enjoy being in the company of all of you fine people. So, plus one to you guys. And the bands were really awesome, especially my favorite one was Viridia. It wasn't on the big stage, but it was on the small stage, but it was still really awesome. I just like them. So yes, that was my answer.
Thank you, Alex. So what we have here is two students who went on the DC missions trip. So if you guys could just share with them what you guys did and what your favorite part was on the DC trip.
Hi, I'm Angelina, and I think my favorite part of the DC trip was helping out with the little kids at the BBS City Gate thingamabob. I don't know, they were so sweet. They were learning about like God and the fruits of the Spirit specifically, and I'll never forget like them. They just, their face like just, they were all smiling. They were just so cute and huggable. I love them.
So my name's Jonathan, and what our group did on the mission trip was we helped a whole lot of different local ministries, including a daycare program, we helped with some senior care places, we helped with a food pantry the one day, that kind of stuff, and I actually had fun doing most of the things there.
Cool. Awesome. Okay, so our next question, which is our last question for you guys, start with our Creation group again. How has the youth group impacted you, and how did you especially see that at Creation? So start with Emma.
So the youth group is like a giant second family to me, and from the first time I came,
you can see right away, they pull you in, they accept you no matter your flaws, no matter anything, no matter your past, whether you bounce off the walls or you just sit there and be quiet. They accept you. And when we are at creation, you can tell everyone's there, everyone's up on the tarp, they're jumping around and everything. And whether, if you're sitting in the chair, you're wrong. You gotta be up, you gotta be dancing, whether you like the band or not. And we're always there for each other, and it's really fun, and it's just amazing and unforgettable.
So, question was, how has the youth group impacted you, and how did you especially see that creation?
When I first came here, it was awesome. Like, I made friends who I think we'll be together forever, and I was very, very quiet when I first came here until creation, where we got to like be together every day. We got to know each other, and it felt awesome. We went everywhere together, and it was pretty cool. I love you guys.
Aww, we love you too, Brenda. Say the question again, please.
They did have these questions ahead of time. How were you impacted by the youth group, and how did you especially see that at creation?
Okay. The youth has impacted me because during the school year, I'm treated like a nobody, but here I'm treated like I'm a somebody, which means like the world. Yeah, rock on. So, especially through creation, like, I mean, coming out of the school year, I mean, like, going to youth was always hard. Like, I didn't want to go to youth. I didn't want to spend time with people. I just wanted to, like, enclose myself. But the youth made, like, I'd go there, and the next thing you know, I'd be, like, instantly loved. And I'd be like, okay, like, I belong here. Like, I'm glad I came. And I showed a lot through creation because I spent, like, a week with these people and didn't have any distractions. And when I did, they would take my mind off of it, so it didn't even matter what was going on around me. And so, I mean, you guys rock. Thank you.
Don't you ask me. Don't you?
Would you like to tell me the question again? So, the youth group has impacted me, not only in creation, but just in general. Yeah, everybody is accepting, and everybody will love you no matter who you are, and that's a beautiful thing for people who are kind of a little put off by others. I totally got to be myself, and much to the displeasure or pleasure of other people around me, they got to put up with me, and it was a lot of fun. I probably wouldn't trade that creation experience with the youth group for anything in the world. It was amazing.
Thanks, Alex. So for the DC group, how did you see us impact our group that went? How did you see our group impact those who were in DC while we were there?
Okay, so I think it was the second day we were there. Around lunchtime, we packed, like, what was it, like 11 lunches?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah. We packed like 11 lunches, and then we went out to Union Station, which is like a main train station in DC. And we went out front, and there was a lot of homeless people there, and we were just handing out lunches to them. And so the one person we gave the lunches to, like, he took them, and then he just started having this random conversation with us, like asking us if we played sports or like if we were good in school, like what happened in our lives. And like he just wanted to talk to someone. So we stayed and we talked to him. And right before he left, he looked at us and he, like, I will never forget this. He looked at us and he said, "Not all the homeless cry." And I don't know, that just struck a chord in my heart. And I feel like we made his day better.
So how I saw our group impacting people in DC, there were a lot of different times actually, but two that stand out in my mind. The first was at this daycare place. So when I went in, I didn't have very good expectations. I mean, I had good expectations, which I shouldn't have had. Because when I signed up for the VBS, I expected the kids to be really wild. They behaved very well. So I expected that the kids at this daycare place would be very well behaved. I was wrong again. And I'm not really a little kid person, even when they are really well behaved. So I wasn't having a very good time the first day. But as the days went on, the second day it was better, and the third day, like, all the kids were having fun, they were building relationships with us, treating each other well, just having a great time, and I was actually kind of sad to leave. And the other time would be when we went to hand out the lunches to the homeless people. It was just great seeing their reactions, like, how glad it made them that somebody cared enough to go do something for them, talk with them a bit.
Thanks. Thanks, guys. Let's give them a round of applause.
There you go. There you
go. Go ahead. Everyone stare as we awkwardly transition.
Put that back over.
Okay. So you see, a lot of stuff happened for the youth group this summer. It was a really good summer. The reason we asked them the questions we did is because, for me, something impacted me this summer that I noticed, and I just couldn't shake as we were at both of our trips, and just in general over this last year with this group, that has just been a blessing to be a part of. And that was just the power of a community and a group. In creation, when we end the festival Saturday night before we come back on Sunday, we have this moment at creation where we all sit around the fire and we share stories and we do all this type of stuff, and usually someone cries. It's this great moment where we get to share what impacted us that week. And students shared a whole bunch of different stories, but over the course of the whole evening and the whole activity we were doing, a theme kept coming out, and that was just the family and the power of the group that was there. The difference that each of those students had made in each other's lives. Whether it was struggling through difficulties or whether it was just being accepted, or whatever it may be, there was just this constant theme of this community making a difference in their lives, them being impacted by each other. And then that theme reoccurred in the missions trip, but in a different way. The fact that we were doing some things that were very uncomfortable for some of these students. I don't know how many of you guys have went to Union Station and handed sandwiches to homeless people and tried to start a conversation. That is an uncomfortable situation for an adult alone. For a middle school and a high schooler, it is very uncomfortable. But man, these students excelled. They did awesome. I mean, I was so proud of these guys. They did such a good job. And they did a good job the whole week. Just getting out of their comfort zones and making a difference in DC, and seeing the impact they made on each of the people they interacted with. And as I looked at how this trip went and how this all worked, they wouldn't have been able to do this without being in a group and being together. None of them could have done this by themselves. But they were together, and they were able to make a bigger impact in a city that most of them had never been to, with people they had never met, and make a difference. The truth is that community can make a very big difference in our own lives and in the lives of people we come to interact with. We are all stronger when we are together. So I want to talk this morning about community and what real community looks like and how it can make a difference in our lives as well as the lives of people even outside this building. How we are set up to make a bigger impact in the community around us when we come together as a community. So to do that this morning, before we go any farther, I think we need to get one truth out in the clear and go over this, and that's that we all equally need community. We all equally need community. Now, for most of us this morning, we probably agree with this statement. We all equally need community. We all agree with it in theory, but in the way we live our lives, often it communicates something differently. Because it's so easy to get caught up in the busyness of life, whether it's work or family or whatever it is, and just forget about other people. Or for those of you who are my fellow introverts, you purposely forget about other people. Okay? We say that we need other people, but so often the way we live our lives communicates something very differently. But the truth is we all need people. We need community. We see this truth come out in Romans chapter 12, starting at verse 3. If you'd like to, you can follow along on the screen. It says this: "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourselves with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of us. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not have all the same function, so in Christ we have, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. So right here, we have Paul giving a valid and strong argument for why we need other people. Why we need more than just ourselves and more than just even our family. Why we need a whole group of people, a community in our lives. See, for Paul, it's all about this fact that we can't do everything ourselves. We cannot do everything ourselves. Now, for some of us perfectionists, we hate that truth. We like to think we can do it all. We can handle everything that comes our way. The truth is we can't do everything, though. We were never designed to do everything. We were designed for community. We were designed to live with other people and work with other people, to be supported by other people. That's why Paul uses the example of a body, that we're all part of the body of Christ, he says, and we all have our different roles and we all belong to each other, because he's trying to get the Romans and us to see when you try to live life on your own, devoid of a community, it's like the arm saying, you know what, head, I don't really need you. Like, psh, I can be the body all by myself. And for those of you who maybe lost an appendage or have broken your arm at times, you know that that's not how it works. That the arm can't be the body. The leg can't be the body. No matter how awesome our brains may be, it cannot be the whole body. See, Paul's trying to say you can't be everything and everyone at once. Each person has a role. See, I like to relate it to this. I don't know if, has anybody ever seen a one-man band? Anybody? Remember, youth pastor, I like interaction. So, okay, one-man band, okay? I have a picture up here of, he is super happy. But I don't know if you've ever seen one of these. I saw one in Anvil a couple months ago, right? And they're awesome, right? They play all these instruments. I'm like, I can't do any of that, okay? And they're really impressive. But could you imagine if this one-man band guy tried to play an orchestra piece designed for this band? Hey, could you imagine a one-man band trying to do that? He's not going to pull that off. First of all, he doesn't even have enough voices. That's like the biggest chorus I've ever seen, okay? Like, he couldn't pull it off. A one-man band could do a lot, but he can't pull off an orchestra piece by himself. Whenever we try to go through life by ourselves, the reason it's so difficult is because we're trying to be a one-man band playing an orchestra. And that piece was never designed for one person. Life was never designed for one person. It was designed for multiple people. The reason for that is because each of us has unique gifts that others can benefit from. See, we each have unique gifts that others can benefit from. Paul starts describing this, right? In the passage, he starts labeling off gifts. Now, what Paul's not doing is making an exhaustive list of gifts. But what he's doing is trying to show them that if you have a gift, use it. Because it wasn't just for you. See, the truth is that each one of us sitting here this morning, the person next to you is uniquely gifted in a different way that you are not, and you are uniquely gifted in a way that they are not. Some of you are great at hospitality, bringing people in. Some of you are awesome at giving advice. Some of you are incredible at listening. Some of you are incredible handymen who can get anything done they put before you. Just a clue, don't ask me because that's not me. I'll break it, okay? Just ask any of our leaders who have been on trips, okay? I will break it. We each have unique and different gifts. God has given us each unique gifts, and that's why we need a community, because we fill in the spots that the rest of them can't do. One person's better at one thing and another person's better at another thing. And when that one person tries to do both of those things, they're gonna fall short in the one area. We need to come together and work together because we're better when we do it. Because we each have unique gifts that each person can benefit from, can find help and support from. We need this community. We need to be together and work together. You know, a good example of this that I've seen in my own life has been actually in the asylum. So we have a good team of people who help out with the youth ministry, from chaperones to leaders that help plan things. But one area that I really saw this play out was actually a couple years ago when we started our youth worship team. So you saw a couple of our youth worship team members up here with the adult team. There's other students that are involved with it. They play every Sunday night. And we started this team a couple years ago, and it was just two of us. It was Carly and Haley. You saw them up here in the front. They decided to join the experiment early. And so we did it. And I led the team to begin with. So that was the problem. Okay, so we had some hiccups in the beginning when we started this team. And part of the hiccups had nothing to do with the students. It had totally to do with the person that was leading them. Okay, I am not a worship leader. I am very bad at it. I can play drums, but when I have to give guidance to a vocalist or a guitar player of how to change something or make it sound a little better or work on something, I have no idea what to tell them because I have no idea what to do because you don't want to hear me sing, okay? That was the problem. But I remember this one fateful practice. We're sitting up here, and she's going to get annoyed at me for picking her out. But we're sitting at this practice, and I'm trying to give them guidance, and it's going our normal kind of hiccupy way. And then Janelle Lynch was there, and she jumped in and started giving them advice on how to do things. And it was just beautiful because it was so much better than when I did it. They started picking it up, and our students are awesome. They have such gifts, and she's giving them guidance, and I'm sitting there like, this is great. And so we talked at the end, and Janelle graciously decided to join on and start leading the team. And then a couple months later, who was then Jess Black, she's now Jess Gaiman, in case anybody didn't know she got married, she also came on and helped lead the team. And now the two of them together lead the team, as well as Aaron Smothers on bass, also helps in many areas in the worship team. And man, the worship team just got so much better when they came in, because they were gifted in that area. I was not. When we all use our gifts, we each get better. We get better supported, we grow more, and we are stronger to make a difference. So the big question then is, what does real community look like? If it is so important that we have this community that we can use our gifts in, that we can come together and can strengthen each other in, what does it look like? How do we do this? How do we live out real community? Well, I think as we go further in Romans, we see this truth. Real community happens when people devote themselves to each other. Real community happens when we devote ourselves to each other. If you look up devotion in Google, it gives us interesting definition. I pulled a couple words from it. It basically means this: to have love, loyalty, and enthusiasm for another person or thing. Thanks, Google. But what do I do? Well, luckily, Paul goes further. If we go further in Romans, Paul gives us, I think, a roadmap to living out devotion to each other. He says this, starting in verse 9 of chapter 12. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. I couldn't get past the fact that the definition for devotion just fits so well with this, because this is what Paul is trying to explain to them, what devotion to another person looks like. What it looks like to give yourself over with love and loyalty and enthusiasm to another person. To truly commit and connect with another person. So I think we can learn two things. First, to be devoted, we need to strive at all times to show love and appreciation. Strive at all times to show love and appreciation. Our number one goal in interacting with someone, especially in this community, is that they walk away knowing that they have worth, that we care about them, and that we appreciate them. That they are loved. See, I think one of the best pieces of advice I ever got when I was getting ready to go into marriage was that love is not just some happy-go-lucky romantic movie feeling, but that love is an effort to show someone that they have worth to you, that they matter to you more than even yourself, and that you show that through action. That's what Paul's talking about here when he says genuine love. I always like to say it's more than just the high on the Sunday morning. Genuine love is genuine care for what's going on in that person's life, for what they're dealing with, for how they're handling it. Genuine love is caring about that person, showing them that they have worth to you, showing them that you appreciate them. Paul says, honor each other, basically appreciate each other, show each other that you care about each other and that you appreciate what you do, that they have worth. See, this morning, I'm joking a little bit, it's gonna be kind of the life point examples, because I love this community because there's so many examples of this type of stuff happening. I think one of the clearest examples that happened recently to me of this type of thing happening, intentionally happening, was actually done by our own lead pastor, Glenn. We have this meeting every month called Leadership Community, and it's where a bunch of our leaders come together from different areas, from life groups to ministries, and we talk about the church, we update each other on our ministries and all the different stuff happening. And at this meeting, there was this one special meeting where one of our own, again, I'm gonna embarrass somebody, Marge Bowers was stepping down from some responsibilities she's been doing since probably before I was born and doing them well. She is amazing, okay? And she was stepping down and handing them over to someone else. And at this meeting, Glenn wanted to do something differently. And I remember him talking to us in staff meeting. He didn't just want her to hand over these responsibilities. He wanted to honor and appreciate her for what she did. And so they were gonna have a little meeting to do that at the leadership community. They got a cake. Glenn shared his appreciation. But the part that really impacted me as I was watching this was they opened up the floor for people at leadership community. Now, this is a meeting of over 20, probably 30 people sitting here, okay? They opened up this meeting for people to share stories about how Marge and Don had impacted them. And man, were their stories. We sat there for a while. And I'm the new guy on the block, so I didn't know a lot of these stories. And they're sharing these stories. And man, it was just beautiful stuff. Stuff that seems so insignificant in the time, from kind words to doing something for somebody to encouragement. Man, if you guys know Don Bowers, man, he gets stuff done. He's always taking care of things. And so there were constant stories about people relying on him. And it taught me two things. One, it taught me how incredibly special it is to tell someone how much they've impacted you. Because man, there was love in that room and there was connection in that room. But another thing that it showed me is what happens when two people devote themselves to a community. Man, they are the essence of devotion. And you could see on their face the impact that had on people. There were people sitting in that room probably because something these two people did. They didn't just make somebody's day better, they changed lives. When we choose to devote ourselves to another person and love that person, it can change a life. It can impact someone forever, and it makes each of us better and stronger. It's not just enough to do that, though. The second part of devotion involves this. To devote ourselves to someone, we also need to intentionally live life together. Intentionally live life together. Paul gets to this when he starts talking further. He starts to talk about putting their whole heart into it. Spiritual fervor is something that he uses, serving each other. He uses all these different terms. And basically what Paul is saying, don't show up and phone it in. I don't know if anybody's ever heard that term before. Don't show up and phone it in. In other words, don't just show up and go through the motions. Don't just show up and do the minimum of what people expect of you there. Don't just go in and do whatever and just kind of go through the motions. No, Paul's saying, no, show up and put your all into this community. Put your all into connecting with each other. Put your all into living life together. Put everything you have into being a part of each other's lives. See, God didn't intend the church to just be a place we show up on a Sunday morning, we sing songs, we listen to a message. That stuff is all important. If I didn't think it was important, I wouldn't be standing up here. I think it's very important. But the church was meant to be more. It was meant to be a family interconnected with each other. A family that mourns together. A family that celebrates together. A family that notices when one person's missing. A family that feels the pain of when somebody else in the group is sitting in a hospital with a family member. A family that's excited to see someone else get a job that they've been waiting for forever. A family that knows each other, that knows what's going on in their lives. That's what the church was intended to be. A deeply interconnected community that cared about everything going on in each other's lives. That type of community is so powerful. That type of community is so uplifting. That's the type of community that gives strength to know that you are not alone and that there's a whole group of people who have your back. That is incredible. Again, another life point example. For me, I've experienced this type of community in different places at different times. But recently, I've experienced this in my own life group. And no, it's not just a life group plug. This is really something I've been experiencing over this last year. I lead a life group with the Smothers, and we've just had a cool group of people come together. And what's been awesome about this life group is, man, when the other members show up, it is not a phone-in moment. It's not just a nice shooting the breeze and talking about conversation. We get into deep things. We get into real discussion. We get into really what's going on in our lives. And some of the people in our group have been through heavy things and are still going through heavy things. And we talk about that. And it's been amazing to see how connected this group has become. Because it's not just hanging out on a life group. It's connecting with each other outside of life group. It's celebrating together when something amazing is happening. It's mourning together when something horrible is happening and praying for each other. One of the cool things that we've been doing is we have this group text that one of our group members started a while back where we send prayer requests to each other, similar to the LifePoint Facebook page. And I always have to laugh because every time I get a prayer request, I'm usually in a meeting and usually my phone explodes for 20 minutes. Okay, my phone's usually going off. And that's because everybody in the group is sharing how they're going to pray for them, or they're praying for them right now. I even have some group members who send prayers over the text. I didn't even know that was a thing until this life group. But we get it, and it's this beautiful thing because I know that I have people who care about what's going on in my life. I know I have people I can tell them when Sam and I are going through something that we don't think we can get through by ourselves, and they know they have the same thing. It is really, truly amazing. That's why we talk about life groups so much, because if we come in and we truly try to connect with each other, we intentionally decide that we're going to take action to get to know each other better and to share our lives with those people. The beautiful thing that happens is you get a community of people that can support you and strengthen you in anything you're dealing with. No longer are you alone. No longer are you by yourself. But you've got a whole army of people praying over you, and you've got a whole army of people asking how you're doing, and you've got a whole army of people sending you thank you cards, and you've got a whole army of people beside you in the darkest of times. And you've got a whole army next to you when you're celebrating. See, that's the type of thing I want to get behind. That's the type of thing I want to be a part of. I don't know about you guys this morning, but that's the type of thing I want to be a part of. Because it feels amazing, and we're all stronger because of it. So if you're sitting here this morning, are you a part of a group like that? Are you a part of a community like that? Have you connected with someone like that? If you haven't, I'm telling you, you're missing out on something amazing. You're missing out on something truly life-giving, truly supporting, something that will make you stronger and make your family stronger. You don't have to go through whatever you're going through alone. So I encourage you, if you're not, to be a part of that. If you are a part of that, I encourage you, please do not go another day without pulling someone else in. Don't go another day without bringing someone else in. Because as we see here at the end, that the whole reason behind this isn't just so that we all get supported and get stronger, but that we can actually do something bigger. See, a Christ-like community can overcome evil itself. A Christ-like community can overcome evil. I think this is the whole point Paul talks about it. If you go to the last part of this passage in Romans, Paul says this: bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, "It is mine to avenge, I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. It's probably one of my favorite lines in Romans. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. See, Paul's whole point to this is that you can't fight this fight alone. You can't change an entire world by yourself. Yeah, I remember we were at a leadership community, or we were at a leadership conference this week, and we were listening to this guy talking. He was the president of IJM, which is an organization that basically goes out and fights for justice in horrible third world countries. And he's sharing stories about how members of his team were getting killed and all this different type of stuff that was happening. And he goes down expecting a broken team, trying to pick up the pieces, but instead he sees a group of courageous people. And his whole talk was about how we can't do this alone. We need to build a courageous group together. That we can only overcome these evil things by being together and banding together, because we have more power when we do that. He made this line where he talks about, he's like, a lone ranger doesn't make a good leader, it makes a good movie. And that kind of stuck with me. Because the truth is a lone ranger cannot change the world. But a whole bunch of people working together, using their gifts, supporting each other, strengthening each other, showing the world what real light looks like, that can change the world. When we choose to be open and welcoming to people and saying, hey, look at what we have, and come join us. Come be a part of it. We don't care your background. We don't care who you are. Come be a part of it. Come be a part of this community. Come be a part of the support that we have. We want you here. You have worth. That can change people, and that can change the narrative, and that can change the world. When we choose as a community to band together and serve together and welcome together and invite together and connect together, we can change the world around us. We can change our community. We can change and fight against evil by showing them something better. Because here's the deal, you are never going to show someone they're in darkness by yelling at them and telling them they're in darkness. You need to show them what light looks like. And that's why Paul tells us to live this way. He wants us to show everybody else what light looks like. So I encourage you this morning, wherever you're at, if you're not connected in a community like I've described this morning, don't leave here before you find a way to connect with that type of community. There are plenty of ways to do that here at LifePoint. There are plenty of incredible people here. And if you're sitting here this morning and you are a part of that community, don't leave this morning without finding someone you can bring into the community you're a part of. Whether it's your life group, whether it's a ministry you're involved with, whether it's just stuff that's happening here at the church, don't leave this morning without inviting someone else to come be a part of the amazing life-giving group of people that you're a part of. Because I promise you, we are better together. Let's pray.